What's the title of this thing? Don't title again.
I'm not
the lonely. Is it rolling, Bob?
Was nice, wasn't it? That was the end of Strange Sun by Pictish Trail. That's number 15 on this wonderful CD I've talked about before, Children of Pepper from Mojo. The June 2017 edition of Mojo that I was given when I was in Vancouver. Anyway, yeah. Welcome to Dixon Jane's podcast, number 763 maybe? It is a Friday afternoon, not quite 3 o'clock. The sun is shining. It is cold. There is snow on the ground. Not a lot, but, you know, what came down on Thursday stayed, or Wednesday night. And it's the start of winter. Yeah, it's coming, and that's fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm parked at St. Andrew's Cemetery. The trees, a lot of the trees still have leaves. And then some of the leaves are covered in this snow, and it's just this sort of wintry scene. It's beautiful in its own way. Anyway, I am just back from seeing a neurologist, finally. I should have seen one long ago, years ago, when I first got drop foot, but that just didn't happen. And I'm just slowly starting to realize you have to be... maybe demanding isn't the word, but you've got to look after yourself. You've got to ask for things. You've got to be an advocate for yourself when it comes to health. I have a doctor who I like, but he is very casual in his approach. And I that's one of the things that attracted me to him, but I realized, wow, you gotta push just a little bit. So anyway, when I went in last time and said, hey, you know, I really am worried about my balance issues that are getting worse. I'm coming downstairs like a chimpanzee. This is just weird. And I'm always, you know, in fear of falling. And there was a cancellation. I hadn't even been scheduled for this doctor. And there was a cancellation. Came up yesterday and said, can you make it in? And I said, you betcha. And she was absolutely wonderful. One of those doctors that just inspires confidence. Young woman, East Indian background, I would guess, from the name and her appearance. And just wonderful. And gave me a list of, wow, I got to go for nerve pardon me, I'm going to go through a few health issues. This is not a good way to start off a podcast, but that's where I'm at now, okay? Nerve conduction tests, and fall prevention clinic, special serum protein blood work, my MRIs, which are already scheduled for December, for the brain and the spine, a joint specialist, a rheumatologist, because of my index finger that's just swollen and constantly sending messages to me, and then a follow-up with her, and a recommendation once again that I take up Aquafit. And remember once I was parked outside the Aquafit and said the Centenary Community Center and said, this is it, I'm going to do it. That was last year sometime, I think. Might have been 2019, I don't know. But anyway, I didn't do anything. And now once again I'm hearing it and I've got to do that. I don't know what it'll take. I mean, I had an idea about doing these short video clips about stuff in my basement, and I couldn't wait to get started. I got just jumped on it and did six within, you know, a 48-hour period. But to, you know, pack a bathing suit and go to a community center and sign up for Aquafit, oh, man, I don't know. And I just don't, and I just, it's a shame. But anyway, we've heard that before. I don't know that anything's going to be changed, but I'm telling myself, hey, dude, do it. You want to get better. You don't want this thing to get worse. So take some action here, man. So there's the health report. But I just was glowing and smiling and said, you're a great doctor, and thank you, and I feel better just having come here. I really did feel good. Basically, I've got nerve damage in my feet, and that's, you know, where that's coming from, we're not quite sure. What can be done about it, we're not quite sure, but at least we're making progress. I saw the right person to sort of, okay, let's investigate further and find out here, so that I'm not left wondering, you know, is this the beginning of some ugly disease like Lou Gehrig's or something? Ah! And probably no, it's not, because there are no other symptoms. So anyway, all right, park that. Sorry. I got a book beside me. Me, Myself, They, Life Beyond the Binary by Joshua M. Ferguson. And I am thrilled about this book because we need a book for our book study group. And I think this is the book. This is the one I'm advocating for. A loving healing for anyone who has been harmed by the gender binary. All of us. The world is broken and we need to learn to love each other without limits. Me, Myself, They is a revelation of beauty and compassion for the human soul. Wow, how nice. Me, Myself, They is a rousing call for empathy and care. It asks us to widen the terrain of gender and in doing so to fashion a new world. This is some of the most important work of our time, and Joshua's memoir is a beacon. That would be Joshua M. Ferguson. I'm only 30, 40 pages into it and really, really happy that I got this. And it was weird. I talked about it a little bit on Gappage, by the way. So listen, let's backtrack just a little bit. This is the first recording I've done in 2 weeks. A first recording for Dixon Janes I've done in 2 weeks. This will be the first time I've missed a week in a very long time, assuming I'll put this out next Monday. What is the date anyway? November 8th, yeah. I did Gappage last night with Brent, and it was fun. It was fun. I gave Brent a hard time, as, you know, was my job. And then before that, I did a wonderful episode of Pod Life number 10 from the Not After 30 podcast consortium, grouping of podcasts. And that was great fun with a fellow called Anthony, not Anthony Marco. No, that's Tony. And he did a wonderful job, and I enjoyed the experience. And it was very much ego-boosting, but hey, no harm in that once in a while, especially when you get down on yourself as much as I do. So, hey, there you go. And then, before that, I also did a Top 100s album, my second one, on Abbey Road with Jason from Parma. Parma, Ohio, that is. And that was fun. So there's a whole lot of me out there on the internets these days. And I feel good about that because I wasn't a slump, but I was having all these doubts about my listeners and why am I doing this and so on. And on top of all that, yeah, actually putting up a YouTube channel just to Google YouTube and get into YouTube and Google Scarborough Dude, two words. And you'll find the six videos I've got up there so far, ending with the lantern, or the brakeman's lantern. And that's been fun, and I'm going to do more of those. And yes, I will make an effort to improve the lighting, and yes, I will make an effort to get a better camera angle. But I will continue to wear stupid hats, do it at the bar, zoom in close, hold the object up close, and give a story that is just somehow related to the object I'm talking about. So there you go. Look forward to that. What else has got going on? Well, this book. Yeah, so I mentioned this book. And it's in an area that I was really struggling with, you know, gender-neutral pronouns and the they and so on. And already this book is winning me over. Like, it really is opening my mind. And I'm glad because my son has been kind of pushing me in this direction to be a little more understanding and open-minded and try and understand how important the language is. And there is a whole new movement. Now, what's wonderful about it is I bought it for myself so that I can read it and recommend it to our church group for our book study. Sorry if you heard all this on the Gappage episode, but I don't know how much of a crossover there is between those two. If you listen to Dixon Jeans, you should listen to Gappage. We've only done 50 shows. But this seems the perfect book for our church to take on because I know for a fact that most people will not be really familiar with transgender issues. And this is written in a very open, it invites you into their life. The pronouns are especially hard for me because as a grammar teacher, you get so fixed in when to use them. And here is a group of people saying, no, we're changing the language and it's up to you to catch up. And I know I've resisted and I'm excited about the fact that I think I might be on the verge of a change here. I think I understand why it's important. And it bodes well, I think, for the future if we give so much more support to trans people. Basically, it's talking about, hey, we are all unique. I'm always saying that anyway on the Dixon Jeans podcast, and I always talk when I'm with a group. I talk about the importance of being yourself, your individual self, and not the societal robot that you're conditioned to be. That, hey, express yourself as is right for you, as feels good. And this story is about, you know, him being different from a childhood and being sort of trying to fix him to identify with the fact that he was born a male. And he's saying, yeah, well, no, hang on a minute now. It's not really who I am. So anyway, it's a wonderful book. I highly recommend it. I think I'll use it for the picture for this particular podcast, because it's a very startling cover photo. Anyway, so I'm just very happy. I'm happy I saw that doctor today. My wife is back from Japan. She spent 2 days basically catching up on her sleep. She took a red eye from Vancouver due to a couple of ticketing problems, or a ticketing problem. And so I picked her up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and she slept for basically a day and a half almost, but is now back home, and she wasn't going to do anything until she had cleaned that house again. I did get out the vacuum. I did do some cleaning, but of course it would never be to her, you know, her level of thoroughness. So that's what she's doing now. So it's just a little better for me if I just stay out of the house a little while longer and talk to you. So welcome back. Welcome back to Dixon Janes. Hey, it's been a while. And during that time, I never had the urge to record because I was doing those other things, the little YouTube videos and being on these other shows. And that was great, great fun. So, yeah. Okay. I guess that's it. Talk to you again later. Yeah, probably I'm going to give you another tune from the Children of Pepper album. Maybe I'll give you, what's the one I said I liked? The Strawberry Fire. And if it's not, well, it'll be something else. Scabber Dude! Signing out. A happy dude today! Happy dude day! Happy dude day! Well, that's for me, not for you, so don't get excited. Bye for now.
thought I'd give you a gentle introduction to this clip instead of the usual, you know what I usually say. It is Saturday, just about 12:30 in the afternoon. I'm in Thompson Park. It's empty. So often you see so many families out here and people carrying down hampers and coolers and things. But hey, it's winter. It's November the 9th today, I think. And yeah, the seasons have changed. Or that's how it feels anyway. Enough about the weather. I got my McDonald's coffee from me. I went in. I should have recorded it. I went in and ordered my usual. I'll have a senior's coffee, please. One cream. She said, do you want that small? Yes, please. How much is it? $1.25. And I think, damn it. You know, I've already had two cups today. Why am I doing this? Could have had my 80-cent coffee at if I'd gone the other direction to Burger King. And then as I drove up to pay, I saw $1.99 special. You get a muffin and a coffee. So for $2.10 instead of $1.25, I got myself a banana muffin, too. So I changed at the cash, and they were very polite and understanding. Hey, it's an old fart. Don't argue with them. And here I am. So we're going to... It's been a long time since we've had a coffee together. So excuse me while I take a sip. Still piping hot. And I agree, the McDonald's cups are way better than the Tim Hortons ones, the lids, I mean. And also I noticed they no longer have the, you know, pull off the little sticker thing to collect your free coffees. I think I've got a couple of those, but this one doesn't have it. Although it does say something I found interesting. Rainforest Alliance certified, ethically sourced Arabica beans, 100%. And I was thinking about that, and I thought, well, they can't really be lying, because somebody would be Googling that. It's a huge corporation. That's kind of a change. And if, in fact, there's a group out there putting pressure on corporations to, well, hey, be a little more, you know, use recycled material and pay people fair wages and so on. I mean, not many are doing that. But that whole movement really comes, it doesn't come from the top of the corporation. It comes from people out there wanting to make the world a better, fairer, kinder, more just place. And I like to think that anyway. I mean, it could be completely cynical about the whole thing and call bullshit, but I'm choosing not to. I'm choosing to say, hey, there are changes. And I think I'm seeing that because of the book I'm reading is really having an impact on me. That's the book I talked about earlier, the book I'm going to try and get our church book club to read, Me, Myself, and They. The passages, he talked about going to school and how harsh it was. Like, he liked to wear makeup and earrings and come in and sort of this as a female, not necessarily wearing a dress, but certainly his appearance. And a lot of people, he grew up in Napanee, small town Ontario, along the 401. A lot of people would not have been able to handle that and would have made a point just because of their own stupidity and ignorance and narrow-mindedness, either felt threatened or just were brought up and think, I'm supposed to hate fags. And, you know, really did give him a hard time. He suffered a lot. He suffered from the changes he, she, they. Sorry. You see, there I go. This is what I'm trying to learn and why I'm reading this book. I really feel good about it. Good because my son gave me a book called Whipping Girl, and it was quite dense and heavy, and a lot of it was really into the definitions right off the bat, and I found it really hard going. Whereas this one, hey, it's a person's life, and you can't help but relate to think back to when you're in high school. I mean, anybody who is slow was teased unless they were really tough, and then you didn't dare tease them because they'd beat the shit out of you. But we did have a class of, you know, a slower class. They could take the commercial courses. And it was almost, I'm sorry to say this, but it was almost like you could have had the guy who did The Far Side draw these characters. Because they did look different. And they were, you know, the nickname was, oh, it was the grade 10 bobs, the bobos, you know. And people were harsh, and somebody who was a little effeminate.
I think there was somebody actually called Jimmy Golightly, and just that name, you know. People teased. We didn't see signs of physically abuse, but it was all verbal and ostracism, and, you know, don't even dare talk to that person, or we'll include you with them. And it's very sad, and this fellow has gone back to the school where he was forced to change school several times. And he's sort of gone back, and he sees a change around 2000, 2001, and mostly his allies, her allies, their allies, there for dealing with, you know, sort of not multiple personalities, but personas. Boy, this is why I'm doing it, because I'm struggling to get this right, and it's not because of political correctness. It's me wanting to be more understanding, be more aware, be more supportive, lots of things. And I just think it's wonderful that this book could come out now and be published, because, again, remember, it's not long ago that people were locked up on homosexuality. And the fact that there are still countries where you can be put to death. And people who follow, you know, the scriptures, whatever religion, may have things to say about this. And it really bothers me. And I like to think I'm looking for hope, and I see hope in this book, the fact that it's written and published and is read by a lot of people. Life Beyond the Binary. And I guess maybe the biggest picture here, I'm always talking about the importance of the individual. And I've got two sons, and they are so different. And I'll talk to another parent who has two or three children, and they'll say the same thing. I can't believe how different each child is. And that is the miracle of the human race. This is how we've got to where we are, for good and bad. I mean, we can see the bad. Obviously, we're still warmongers. We're still full of hatred. We're still doing stupid things. We're still putting the tough and the strongest, or the most corrupt, the most evil rise to the top. But still, there is so much progress when you think in medicine and science and technology. And just in the field of medicine, the fact that I can get treatment, have a sympathetic doctor who says, oh, yeah, I'll refer to a specialist for your knuckle, or for your fingers, for your arthritis, your rheumatism, and another one to help you walk better, and another one to take your MRIs. And all of this is available in our society. Wow. Because it's not long ago, again, you know, hey, if you're poor, well, you're shit out of luck. You can't see a doctor. And, of course, that's the rule in most of the world. So this book is causing me to perhaps see a bigger picture and see some hope. And the bigger picture is this idea, I'm sort of losing the thread there, like a Mark Blevins move, the non-binary world we do live in. It isn't just this or this, male or female. And I used to, I mean, when I taught my students at Centennial, it was always, hey, I draw a line, a long line. And so you might have extremes of one male, you know, macho male on this end here, an extremely feminine person on this thing here, but nobody is on either of those extremes, or not in real life. That it is a spectrum. It is you move, it's a sliding scale. You move somewhere along here, but you're not all one or all the other. And I think that's an important thing. So anyway, enough. I know you'll wonder why I'm going on about this, but I think I just told you, for Christ's sake. Oh, God, you give me a hard time sometimes. So what else did I do today? It's Saturday. Saturday's often chore day. And now that my wife, dear Naoko, is back, she's off doing yoga right now. The house has suddenly been turned upside down, looks clean again. And as soon as she stepped into the car, it's the first time she's actually gotten her car. The first thing I hear is, kitanai! Kitanai! Kitanai means dirty. Like, not vulgar dirty, but, oh my God, like, I keep this car so spotless. My husband's been driving it. And I only used it a few times, but somehow I must have left a trail behind me or something. And it's just, no, this needs to be cleaned. That is her thing. And boy, lucky me to have somebody who really values cleanliness the way she does. My God. It's passed on to both my sons. I mean, my one son will come home from work, have a shower, get up in the morning and have a shower. And then if he's come back from work and he's going out, he'll have another shower. He always smells good. Okay. So, all right. I'm wandering a little bit. It's Saturday. You're allowed to. Yeah. The chore today, our poor, poor, poor cat. I talked about being here and seeing the snow on the ground. But for a cat who lives outdoors, you just feel so badly. And this cat will never be an indoor cat. Like, if I put my hand a little too close as I'm putting the food out, I'll get this heavy, like, you know, attack mode. He's going to just, he's been threatened and he has to strike back somehow. And it's so sad. And yet, he sits at our window, at our sliding door on the deck, and stares in all the time. And he's up early in the morning before we are, waiting to see a light go on, and then the mouth opens wide. I mean, the most plaintive cry you can imagine, because it's feeding time. It's always feeding time for him. And but we do well. I mean, he gets his breakfast. We try for 7 o'clock breakfast. Now we're down to a 6 o'clock supper, and often there's a lunch in there, and at least one bowl of milk a day too, which he laps up. So, I mean, he's looked after, and so the job today was to go and get some fresh straw so that we could line his bed. We've done the proper shelter. It's one of these, you know, big boxes with an insulated roof. I think I talked about that in the past. I bought it, or I was given it, actually, by somebody who traps feral cats. And but if you put it in a fresh layer of straw, it really helps them stay warm and dry for the winter. So that's what I did, and I thought, well, where the hell do you get straw in Scarborough? And the first thing that came up was Sheridan Nursery. Just go to a nursery store. Oh, okay. Well, how am I going to do it? Just grab a handful of straw? Well, they had little bales that people use for decorating their manger scenes. And it looked like it was $14.99. I thought, oh, shit, you know. And then 60% off. Ooh, I guess this is, you know, for whatever reason, they're just getting rid of this stuff. It's people use it for the garden, too, to protect their trees and so on. It's near the end of the season. You pack it around the base of the tree, right? I think so. I never have. But anyway, it was 60% off. And so, all right, I was going to buy two of those little ones. And then another woman came up and said, oh, listen, we've got great big square ones in the back. And so one that was much larger I got for $6. So Tora-chan will have fresh straw today before he goes to bed tonight. So there you are. My duty's done. That's why I treated myself to a coffee and a muffin. Another sip, if you don't mind. And I guess that's it. I don't know what else I have to share with you. I'm going through some of those CDs I got this summer. That was Dire Straits that we just heard. I just do want to spend. I want to finish this book before and get a real big chunk of it done before I go into church and tell everybody, or the people who are on this committee, or people who would have an interest, to say, look what I got. I think this is the book we're going to have to study this year. Okay, so anything else? There's been a lot of fun on Twitter. I do love the interactions, the teasing that goes on. And, of course, anything, if you get any feedback for a podcast, it's wonderful. And, of course, where I'm talking about Gappage, that we got a lot of, just, you know, fun results and teasing other people and drawing them into the conversation. It's all about getting people involved, connecting people, having fun. Oh, I know. Sorry, one more topic. I had this conversation I mentioned the other day with Scott. Very personal and very, and it's, he's the kind of person, you know, that you can open up to. And it's very trusting. And the guy is, I mean, that's what he does for a living, so he knows how to set the parameters, you know. And I think that he started the conversation off, right? Am I talking to the authentic Ken? Because this is where I would like to go. Are you feeling your authentic self? And that's a great way to start a conversation, because you've got to check, okay, what agendas am I coming in here with? So anyway, part of the theme of the conversation was my guilt at feeling I'm nice to people because I want them to like me. And that may sound quite silly. Well, of course, doesn't everybody do that? But I don't know that everybody does that, and I don't know that everybody thinks about it or reflects back on it. I don't bother with people I don't like. I'll just either ignore them completely, and I won't necessarily be rude unless, like the asshole I talked about on Facebook on the Gappage show, they just annoy me. I will post something annoying, but I don't go around looking for fights at all. It's just not my nature. I'm way past that. I don't think I ever was like that. But the other side of it, of being nice and then questioning your own sincerity, well, why am I nice to that person? Because, you know, is there anything contrived about it? My niceness, my smiling, engaging in conversation, listening, is there something that's not authentic about that? Because I'm only doing it because, wow, it's one more person I can collect. Here's a person who's going to like me because I'm so nice to them. They can't help but like me. And then you question all your motives. Well, is that sincere? Is that why are you doing that? But there's another way to think, well, what the fuck, man, are you even talking about? Of course. That's just the way life works. Be nice to people. They'll be nice to you. Everybody's happy. You know, and it doesn't mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm nice to the cashier when I walk through any time I have to check goods. Although lately, damn it, I've been forced to use those damn machines more and more. They're not putting enough cashiers on, and there's a long lineup, and you think, damn it, I'll just scan the 5 items I'm buying. I really don't like that, although there's somebody hanging around there you can engage with. But still, I am nice to people in passing. It's not like they're ever going to remember me. I'm just another face in the crowd. So I think that's genuine and authentic because, hey, this person's working. They're standing on their feet. It's not a fun job. They're not getting paid much. They got a whole other life they'd rather be living than standing there, you know, bagging your groceries and ringing it in. They don't do much bagging anymore. And so, yeah, that's different. That's just a natural niceness because it's better to be nice than not, you know, and you see people who are assholes, you know, will complain or argue, and then you think, oh, you fuckers, what are you doing? Okay, god damn, did I get to where I wanted to get? Maybe, I guess I'm throwing that out there because I want you, the listener, to reflect on yourself. Why are you nice to people? Like, how much do you do that? Be nice to somebody, not because you need a favor. You're not really asking for anything back. It's not, oh, I'll be nice to them, I'll suck up to them, and they'll give me something or do something for me, or I can use that in, you know, it's capital. I can use that in future because they'll owe me because I'm a friend. No, that's not entering it at all. It's simply, why are you being nice to somebody? Because they're a nice person, too. You recognize that. You see that. That's how you choose people. Now, there's another step to this, and of course it means, well, then why are you being so rude, deliberately teasing publicly John Meadows and Mark Blevis and, of course, Brent Morris and all these people who you really do consider dear friends? And I argue, well, yeah, because that's, I'm showing my love for them by, you know, if it wasn't a good enough friendship, I wouldn't dare tease them. Like, I'm not ready yet to really tease Anthony, who interviewed me on Not After 30 podcast. Now, I did make a start on that in the Gappage episode when I complained about him having too many names to remember. And so that was sort of like that. That was sort of like, it was just pushing that door open just a little bit, just a little bit. Hey, if we're going to be friends, you got to know that I can't suck up to you. And you know, we got to drop this sir business to start with. You know, we got to start, hey, actually engaging and, you know, having a beer together and going from there. So, and eventually, if it's a good friend, it'll get to the point where I'm just going to be plain be rude to you. Because that's that. Then it's comfort. Then we're really tight after that, right? So you can look forward to that, Anthony. All right, I guess that's a good note to end on. You like that, eh? You know, it's funny because I can't fake it. I couldn't make myself do that a second time. It just wouldn't work. So you only get one of those. You get those when they're there, ready to be expressed. All right, all right, all right. Geez, back to the Dire Straits. Bye for now.
I'm as happy as can be. Jiminy Cricket, Jiminy Jack, you make my heart go clickety-clack.
So you've just heard a song called Tweedledee, Tweedledee. I chose that because I loved that as a kid. And I was thinking, we must have had that on the 78, but now I'm thinking, no, it would have been a 45. But I played that over and over. There were many versions of it, but I think we had the original. And it was just a happy, snappy song. And today is Remembrance Day. And so I was thinking, oh, you know, maybe you should change that. And I looked at some of the songs I had on iTunes, and there was a couple of anti-war songs, and I thought, no, anti-war is not what Remembrance Day is about, November 11th. That war, World War II, I'm thinking of, although the armistice, of course, was for World War I, it strikes me, and I'm sure historians will correct me, that World War I was absolutely outrageous that there was such a war, that kings sending their young men off to fight this silly battle, everybody thinking it would be over soon, and of course it wasn't, and it was the horror of World War I. My own grandfather, my mother's side, took part in that. World War II seemed different in that this man who had control of all of Europe at that point had to be stopped. This was a war with a cause, and I sometimes try to imagine a world if the Nazis had won and been able to established a 1,000-year Reich, like how hard it would have been for rebel groups to oppose. I mean, it was bad enough during the war, and people did, but it took a real effort of a lot of men and armaments and bombs to stop the Germans. It was a horrible thing. But anyway, so an anti-war song didn't seem right. They're better suited for Vietnam. And I thought, well, listen, go back, leave in Tweedledee, because you're thinking on this day always of the young man who had no future, who died young, who would have, had they lived, come back and absolutely loved that song and would have been bopping around and dancing with somebody, maybe married by then. This came out in the 50s. It would have been so, so different. And it's just terribly sad. But I felt, no, leave it in, you know, because I'm the one who's received the blessings. I'm the one who hasn't had to go off to war, hasn't had to fight, hasn't had to face the hardships. And, you know, I almost have a duty to appreciate these freedoms. I guess it's also tied into the book I'm reading about a person who came out as a trans, and a lot of the book is about this person sorting out his identity, born a male biologically, you know, but with feeling like he was female, or she was female all along. And I'm thinking, that those kind of freedoms that somebody can actually, you know, he went on to earn a PhD, she went on, they went on to earn a PhD and become a filmmaker in Vancouver. And in a world had a party, had we not beat back this Third Reich, this person wouldn't exist. They would not be able to come out of the closet. I mean, all the things, the liberties we have today, so many of these things, yeah. So there's a lot to be grateful for. And I don't think we think about that often enough, and it shouldn't be just Remembrance Day. Because the rest of the world, when you look around, I was talking about reading about Testaments, the Margaret Atwood book that follows, you know, the show. I have a difficult time. I'm in my living room. I never record from here. And I'm never completely relaxed in my own living room. You'd think this would be the place where I'm most relaxed, but it's snowing out today. I ventured around the block in my little Toyota, formerly my wife's little Toyota Yaris, got as far as Active Green Ross to have my winters put on, and he said, come back next week. Like, they're book solid, people who leave it late. And fortunately, I got my wife's winter tires put on when we had a flat. So I'm not going around these streets. I'm not venturing out and taking chances. Not only that, I just phoned the garage. I had a problem with the front axle, had to be replaced. And when they replaced it, they broke the cables for the ABS. And they said they're all rusted or whatever. But anyway, I don't have ABS either, which is the adjust the speed with the wheel spinning, you know, if you're slipping on ice. And he said, listen, when the winter comes, you might want to have that fixed. So I called to have that done. And meanwhile, I'm just not taking that car out on the road. It was trouble enough just going around the block. Okay, so back to Sunday. Today is Monday. We had a scientist come in, he formerly working for Durham Region, putting in plans for to do with climate change and what they should do. And he spent a lot of his career researching the environment. This is a well-educated man whose whole life is devoted, and a man from Scarborough, born right across, right where there's an Esso station now, right on Danforth Road. And it doesn't matter. Jesus, man. Focus. The message was, we are screwed. Like, this climate change stuff is real. And the connection between the wartime when he said in wartime, governments had to come in. You want to win that war. You're going to ration food. You're going to ration gasoline. Huge industries are going to be devoted. You're not making cars anymore. You're making tanks and airplanes. And the government seizes control of the economy to put it into war production. People are buying bonds to invest, to save the country, to save the world. And the message was, we're very close to needing that now, that you can do what you want as an individual and recycle and, you know, reuse and, you know, get an electric car and do all the things you want, but it's never going to be enough. We're already so close to a point where it's the tipping point where we can't go back, that we're facing extinction of many species and, you know, eventually the human. And there's a part of you, there's a part of me, there's a part of many people who thinks, well, fuck, if humans, you know, die off, we deserved it. We did it to ourselves. But his message was sort of, no, there'll be enough people who have enough money to be able to live. What I think about, you know, as the system starts to break down, we're not self-sufficient. Here living in a place, we go to the grocery store whenever we want, a few times a week, to pick up the food you need to eat. And when that system breaks down, when the food isn't being produced in the quantity, and it's only people with power and money and you know, living in armed fortresses who can be fed, and those of us, the millions living in suburbs with you know, don't even grow strawberries, we're starving. And the people who have the guns will be coming out and taking food from the people who still have some left over. You know, we're talking about some horrible scenarios here. And that's an extreme, but it is the reminder that something has to be done. And I think, okay, I've lived my life. I had a really great run. I'm not bragging about that. I'm just saying that. I'm aware of that. I was going to say I have nothing to lose. But it's the children. It is the children. It is the Gretas of the world who have a right to be angry and need to, you know, have their concerns addressed. Oh, God. I'm doing such a terrible job of this, but I guess it's because I'm trying to squeeze in a whole lot of messages which seem to me important, and it's stopping me from just letting it flow, because anything else seems, you know, almost trivial, like most of the content of these podcasts. So maybe I'll just park it there. The message it was really well done. I think I mentioned where he was born. It was only because he introduced himself as sort of a normal person who grew up. His father was a head of the fire department in Bendale here. And he was just a guy, but prides himself on being a scientist, and as a scientist, he resigned in protest. That's where his credibility comes in. When the Durham board, he said, we had like 43 proposals of things, actions that needed to be taken. And he said, I bet you there's no more than one or two at most that ever even got started. People just say, great, thank you very much, rubber stamp it, goes in the minutes, and no action taken. And so he resigned in protest, gave up his job. I guess he was close enough to retirement, but still, it was on principle. And so he was speaking as a scientist. And that kind of thing is why I like going to this church, that, hey, there's serious issues here we need to be thinking about. We need to be putting pressure on our government leaders and so on. So, okay, I will park that now. I always watch the Remembrance Ceremony from Ottawa on the television. I always stand for the 2 minutes of silence. And I do think, as I tried to express earlier, about just the tragic loss of people who didn't want to die, but who did in just the case, the cause of war, and a war that enough people believed was absolutely necessary. You know, when you look back at history, it's not a question, oh, yeah, there were two sides, and if Hitler had won, Hitler would be, you know, things would be different. There'd be somebody else would write the books and everything would be fine. No, I don't think so. I don't think when you think of the people who were eliminated, when you think of some of the cruelty that, well, it happens in times of any war. And when I think about human cruelty, period, it's so hard to fathom. And I always come back to, yeah, well, that's because you were born in a middle-class family at a wonderful time in Canadian history, and you've never suffered, and you've never been hungry, and you had love from your parents and food and clothing every day. You never had to face hardships. So, you know, what's your opinion worth? But I'll bounce right back and say, yeah, that's all the more reason we have to be grateful and we have to be aware of the blessings. I mean, I think about this young boy in Me, Myself, They, Life Beyond the Binary, some of the suffering he personally went through, but the diversity, like his parents struggling to, why is our son different? And the difference comes from, because this is the miracle of life, that the only hope for life is just to keep producing more and more variations of humans and kind of hope that somehow cultures and civilizations will preserve the good ones. I know that's not always the case. Sometimes it's just a question of power and ruthlessness. And I guess under the capitalist system we're living under right now, it would seem that no, those who celebrate greed and power and keeping what they have and keeping others down and winning, they're the winners. They're the ones in you know, controlling all the levers of power. When you look at the whole, especially, I know nobody likes me beating up on America all the time, but God damn it, looking at what's happening, looking at this man who's the president and the lies he makes and yet can spin it so well as to make you have doubts that, hey, these other people are the ones who are lying. The press is lying. This is all fake news. I haven't done anything wrong. And always having a core that believes him. So, anyway, park that. I'm almost out of time. It snowed today. It's snowing. Oh, my poor winter cat. Fortunately, my dear wife fixed up his home and has got a shower curtain over a table and new cushions with soft things in them under that shower curtain so he can sit when he doesn't want to stay in his house. And then when it's time to go to bed at night, he climbs in his house and it's got a fresh layer of straw. You'll see him when he comes out. You see the little footprints in the snow and he's got bits of straw sticking to him. But that's the way they can stay warm and survive the winter. Again, a case of the suffering that some people are going through who are homeless, who don't have shelter, don't have enough to eat. And this is what, or who, we should be taking care of. Oh, I wish I could focus, man, focus on a way of ending. Maybe I should just put a song on at the end of this, drag it on an extra couple of minutes and just end with a song. Yeah, that's it. I'll try and find a song. I hope you enjoyed Tweedledee, because it does take me back to a happy childhood, and I thought that was worthy of celebrating, but I think I'm going to end with another song and see if it's a message to it. Scarborough Dude signing out. I'll see you next week. I missed a whole week. Isn't that wonderful? Bye for now.
Rock me to sleep in my saddle, rockin', rockin', rockin' all the day. Chuck wagons creep o'er the prairie, bumpin', his ears are bent from weariness and woe. Rock me to sleep in my saddle. Rockin', rockin', rockin' all the day.
Rockin' all the day.